Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to two portions of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 17, where we're just going to stay momentarily. And 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, where we'll be preaching. Title of our sermon, Went Not My Heart With Thee. Went not my heart with thee. Proverbs 17, are you there? Verse 15. Proverbs 17, 15. You believe the word of God was written for our admonition?
Yes.
Was written so that we would take it to heart. And I would suggest that you highlight verse 15. He that justifieth the wicked. You think there are people in our society today that justify the wicked? And he that condemneth the just. Boy, doesn't that sound like some of our politicians today? Even they both are abomination to the Lord. Those that justify the wicked and he that condemneth the just. Question, have you ever listened to someone trying to justify their bad behavior? Probably all have heard someone try to justify it or listened as they tried to justify the bad behavior of another. I remember hearing a mother saying, oh, he's just sowing his wild oats. Can I tell you this? There's no justifying doing wrong. There's no justifying. And I find myself often thinking, Lord, how many times have I tried to justify my bad behavior? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time together, for the songs that we were able to sing, and Lord, for the prayer time. Lord, again, we ask prayer for those that were listed this evening. Lord, have your hand of blessing upon them. And for the unspoken requests, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would answer each one and that we will be willing to accept the answer. And Lord, now we ask that you would bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 5, we'll begin reading at verse 20. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 20. Most of the time when we speak from 2 Kings chapter 5, we are talking about Naaman the leper who has been healed. I mean, chapter 5 is a fantastic story of the mercy of our Lord. But we're going to talk about Gehazi first, reading about it, then we'll end up at it eventually. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. You know, it's a sad thing when we bring the Lord into our bad activity. When we try to say, Lord, you help me do that which is wrong, which is basically what he was saying. Verse 21, so Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, that being Gehazi, all is well. Lie number one. Because in his heart, Gehazi had already begun to sin. My master hath sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophet. What do we have here? Lie number two says, give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And Naaman said, be content and take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags. with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. Sir, sin number three, right? He now is taking that which he should not be taken. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. And he went in and stood before his master, period. What do you think Gehazi's thinking right now? Does he think, I wonder if he knows? Yes. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. Well, are we up to four now? Yes. Isn't it amazing how sin multiplies? And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and vineyards and vineyards and, olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? You know, I think that Gehazi had already begun to think what he was going to do with that money. Not only did he get the money or the garments, but he was thinking, what can I do with the money? Olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen, and I could have maid servants and men servants. I mean, he's thinking, wow, what would I do if I won the lottery? Oh, that's a different story, isn't it? Have you ever thought what you would do if you won some great amount of money? Verse 27. The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. You know, Gehazi continued to be his servant. He's named a number of times in further chapters. But earlier, you know how you're watching a program on TV and it starts here and then it says 6 months earlier, and then they begin to tell you how it came to be the part of the story. So earlier, see, the average Israelite would have thought Naaman should have died what? A leper. The average Israelite would have said, hey, God, don't bless him. He's a heathen. God, don't bless him. He's the one that brought the armies here, and they have taken many of our people captive. Of course, we know that it really wasn't the Syrians that caused the issue. It was the children of Israel behaving improperly. They would have wished that that little maid would have kept her mouth shut. The Hebrew suggests a girl under the age of 12. How many of you remember when you were 12? Yeah, seventh grade. Wow. Yeah, that goes back too long, Donna. Yeah, okay. How fascinating that this captive from Israel's borderland was more aware than the king of the power God exercised through his prophet. This story is a healthy reminder that our Lord can even use a child to spread word of his love and mercy. You know, if we think about instances in the Bible where a child was used, one comes to mind to me very quickly, and that is Samson. And you remember Samson was being led by a child, probably to mock him. And he says to the child, show me or let me know where the pillars are. And of course, we know that Samson pushed the pillars in and the temple collapsed. But children are used quite often through the word of God. They would have wanted Elisha to tell Naaman to go back to his country and ask his gods to heal him. Unfortunately, a lot of the Israelites were serving the same gods. And that's sad. 2 Kings 5:1 declares in no uncertain terms that Syria and Naaman had been victorious over the Israelites due to the Lord's will being accomplished. Yes, sometimes God allows bad things that come into our lives to get our attention. Yes, there are times that God uses bad situations to wake us up. And sometimes we become careless and complacent in our lives. After reading that Naaman was a mighty man of valor, we find that he was also a leper. A leper. Let us see verse 5b. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Naaman is coming to Israel. What does the king send? The king sent a letter. Naaman brought the money. Through the years, I have known of people whose child have become poorly in their health. And parents have spent thousands of dollars trying to find some cure for their child's health issue. I remember one sending their child to Mexico to try some experimental issue. And upon arriving back home, he was worse than when he left. And yet the parents said, we had to try. See, money doesn't mean a whole lot if you don't have good health. Health means so much, folks. And that not only physical health, but spiritual health. But the Lord cares not about our money. What does he care about? Starts with an F. Faith. He cares about our faith. The faith of a young maiden who said, if he knew about the man of God, the faith of a child. Being Bible believers, we think that Naaman, when given the job of going to the Jordan River, that he should have ran there and not walked. In your mind's eye, can you see Naaman arriving at Elisha's dwelling? He in his chariot and his servants and fellow soldiers. Can you see them? They know why they've come to Israel. They've come because the king has said, go find the man of God. And so they are now standing outside of his lodgings. And Elisha came out and talked to him, right? No, he didn't. Elisha, the prophet, did not come out to him. He sent him a simple message by Gehazi. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. That makes sense, doesn't it? Go and wash. Can you imagine? You're the leper. Would you say you would do just about anything to be healed? But being a man, sorry men, a proud man, probably a superstitious man. You know, most people are superstitious. And false religions only add to superstitions. He balked at this proclamation of Elisha. Now, the Bible is going to tell us that he was wroth. He was angry. I mean, what happens if you're going to bathe? Well, in most ideas, you're probably going to remove most of your clothes, right? You're going to go into the River Jordan, probably only in your loincloth. And what is everybody going to be able to see? The leprosy. And leprosy can be very deforming. It can remove noses. Well, it could remove your nose, your ears, your fingers, your toes. It could change you to being whitish, taking the pigment out of your skin. Would that be embarrassing? Absolutely. So he would have to remove his clothes. His men would see the marks of leprosy. Even though they may not want to look, curiosity what? Takes hold. And we look. And what if he went into the water and bathed the 7 times and was not healed? He would have to live with that humiliation for the rest of his life. Now you ponder that. In your mind's eye, see Naaman, this mighty man of valor, who probably fought harder because of the fact he had leprosy and maybe even wished to die. I don't know. And now he's being told to humble himself. Go down to this river. Remove your garments and go into the water. Let everybody see who you are. Verse 11 says, but Naaman was wroth and went away. The Bible doesn't say it, but I say pouting. Have you ever pouted? Now don't lie. We probably all at one time or another have pouted. We probably at one time or another have even been angry with God. And we have said, how dare you allow this to happen? And so Naaman is angry when God does not behave as Naaman thinks he should. And I'll be the first one to tell you that I've been in that very same place where I have said, God, why have you allowed this to happen? God, why haven't you moved the way that I want you to move? We see here Naaman's arrogance, his pride, how every human wants God, wants a God who marches to our tune rather than being willing to be submissive. Because by nature, we struggle with being submissive. How many people are cut off from the mercy of God because of their blatant sin? How many people are cut off from the mercy of God because of our blatant sin? Because we have done wrong and they have missed out on the blessings because we have not been right. Notice verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. Wash and be clean. Sometimes I think it would be a whole lot easier to preach works than grace. It would be so much easier to say, now you've got to do this and this and this, and if you don't do it, you're going to hell. But no, we preach grace. Aren't we glad though for grace? Absolutely. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Let me ask you this. The healing of Naaman, was that mercy? Was that grace? Titus 3, verses 4 through 6. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Verses 14 through 16. Then he went down. Now see this in your mind's eye. And dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was what? Clean. Oh, can you imagine how he felt as he came out of the water that 7th time? I believe this, that as he went down that 7th time and began to rub himself, he felt his body heal. Everything now felt good. Can you see him coming out of the water with the fist held high saying, yes, yes. And he returned to the man of God he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." Now, let me say this, that God isn't just in Israel. God is around the whole world, but he was known in Israel. And you know the sad thing is that many of the Israelites neglected him and ignored him and didn't want to follow him. How very sad. Verse 16, "But he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused." Now, before Naaman was healed, Elisha didn't go out to see him. But now, when he hears the joy in the voice of Naaman and all the men, he comes out. And Elisha talks to him. And even though offered much, he doesn't take anything. What if the story ended here? What if we didn't hear about Gehazi doing wrong? But the Bible is clear, men are what? Sinners, selfish. Yes. Why do we have to hear about Gehazi? Verse 20. "But Gehazi." Have you ever been talking to someone about something and they're telling you this and that, and that you're waiting for the but? You're waiting for that next word that's going to make you go from happy to usually sad. Yes. "But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." Gehazi thought he deserved it. Gehazi thought, well, if my master won't do it, I'm going to do it. He offered it. Why shouldn't someone take it? Isn't it amazing how often we get jealous of someone? How quickly we become jealous. No, in verse 21, not all is well. Where do most sins begin? In the heart, in the thought life, right? In the thought life of the individual. Be it Eve, or Cain, or Lot, or Achan, or Jonah, it was their thought life that got them into trouble. In verse 22, we find there's a bold-faced lie. It's a terrible thing when God's people lie, especially when we bring the Lord's into it or other godly people. And once given the money and the talents, he takes them to the house. There was an excitement. Wow, new clothes. Money so I can buy things that I can't get otherwise. Wow, I can't imagine what I'm going to do with all this. And he took it, the Bible says, and bestowed them in the house. He took it in. Now, we are not told that he hid it. You know, Achan hid it, didn't he? He buried it. We're just told that he took it into the house. And then notice verse 25. "But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him." Is this when we hear dum, da dum, dum, dum? Yes. "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went no whither." Do telling lies come easy? Sure they do. We must be careful. "Went not my heart with thee?" That would be a scary thing, wouldn't it? You know, kids oftentimes wonder how parents know when they misbehave. Number one, parents just have ears, right? They hear. You know, it's kind of like playing hide and seek with a young kid. You just listen to where they're going to hide. And then you act like you don't know where they are for a while before you go and find them. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, for the love of money. And I think it's important that we keep that word love there. You know, a lot of times you hear people say money is the root of all evil. Well, is there anything wrong with money? No, money is a necessary part of life, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, we work on that type of system. We earn money. Now, in many ways today, we don't even touch it. We get a check, we put it in the bank if there's not automatic deposit. We write checks, we use our Visa, and sometimes we don't even use cash. And some people talk, we'll someday be in a cashless society, which of course will do away with garage sales. Right? Yes. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after. Is that what Gehazi did? He coveted it. And have erred from the faith. Isn't that what happened to Gehazi? He erred from the faith. And pierced himself through with many sorrows. Isn't that verse really telling us about Gehazi? That this is what's going to happen when you put your eyes on the wrong things. But note the difference between the converted Naaman and the jealous Gehazi. There is a change, isn't there? From where the story began to where it is going now. Naaman's healing in the Jordan caused a total revolution in his thinking. Naaman acknowledged the Lord as God in verse 15. Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. He commits himself to worship the Lord only in verse 17. I will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. Also, see the transformation in his attitude when the once arrogant general humbly gets down from his chariot to greet a mere servant of God's prophet. Do you see the difference? Do you see the attitude change? Yes. True conversion involves all three of these elements. The acknowledgement of the Lord as God, commitment to Him only, and an inner transformation of attitude that expresses itself in our actions. We are now different. Gehazi sadly took his eyes off the God of Elisha and put them on the God of all so many, money and material things. Oh, we must be careful that money and material things do not become our gods. How did Gehazi expect to deceive Elisha with his new clothes and wealth? Let me conclude with this thought. Let's be careful that a similar focus on material wealth does not take priority over the spiritual things in our lives. Oh, we must keep money and material things in the right priority. Shall we stand together? 489 will be our song of invitation. I surrender all. Naaman was willing to change his attitude. Gehazi, unfortunately, was going in the wrong direction, and it cost him the rest of his life. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time of invitation, Lord, touch our hearts, and we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.